Father, we say, hear their prayer. And we say, come in to every loved one. And Lord, we bless them. We thank you for them. We pray encouragement. I pray that they would overflow with hope by the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, bless your girls. Bless your women. We honor you and we bless you in the name of the Lord. Amen. Thank you very much. And Father, we bless and we invite you to come to this service. We honor you today. Lord, we thank you that you are the Ancient of Days, that you are the Holy One, that you are the True One, that you are the Faithful One. And Lord, after the prelude and our scripture reading, we're gonna sing Praise to the Lord the Almighty. I love that line. God as a mother doth speed. Lord, I thank you, Jesus. We thank you, God, that you're a God who sees, that you're a God who hears. So, Lord, you know what we need today. So we just welcome you, Spirit of God. Come in Jesus' name. Prepare our hearts for worship as the prelude is played.
Shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell
shut down, Lord. And I pray that we would never forget, God, what we've learned. And Lord, that we would always seek your face, that we would always be hungry for you. Lord, that we wouldn't get back to lives as normal, but Lord, that we would be changed and transformed as a result of just this past year. And God, sitting at your feet and being good soil. Lord, help us. Help us, God, to move forward in Jesus' name. We pray for Gordy Showalter, who's having surgery on Tuesday. God, we ask your healing to be upon Gordy in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray, God, healing and a good report from that surgery in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the praise report of a son moving home, a son moving into a home, Lord, and we just thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that nothing is every good, I was reminded of this week, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. Lord, every blessing, every good thing comes down from you. It's a gift from you. We bless you. We honor you. We thank you, Lord, that you are the King of glory. We thank you, God, that your name is faithful and true. We thank you, God, that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you, Father, that when all we have is a sob, a tear, and a sigh, God, that you see that. You see that. And it all goes up as incense before you. So, Lord, we honor you and we bless you. We bless our mothers this morning. We bless the mothers among us this morning. Lord, those of us that are grieving and mourning because we've lost our mothers, Lord, those today, that this day hurts. God, we just ask comfort. We ask, Lord, for you to surround people, Lord, that are grieving and hurting this morning. Thank you. One of the names of Holy Spirit is Paraclete, the one who comes alongside, the Comforter. So, Lord, comfort your people today. We pray the prayer, Jesus, that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Father, we thank you for these tithes and these gifts and these offerings. Lord, we thank you for faithful givers. Lord, we pray you'd bless the offering, God. Thank you, Lord, that the electricians, that's going to begin work in the kitchen. We've been talking and praying about that for a long, long time. And so, Lord, we thank you for your provision. We thank you for the provision for the roof. God, we thank you that you supply all of our needs. And so, Lord, we just offer this all up to you and ask you for wisdom and the use of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. then we taught the students that were learning English there, we taught them slang, and then at nighttime they would come to Bible studies. They didn't have to come, but developed relationships there and was able to intercede. That was there for 6 weeks, and that trip was powerful, but that trip was really, really hard. It was right before the Soviet Union fell. There wasn't a lot of food, and got very, very sick on the way home, and was sick for about 9 months when I got home. So that trip was very, very hard, but was able, you know, was able to see something. You know, Soviet Union fell within like 2 or 3 weeks of me being home. So it was amazing to be part of all of that. And then when I was in Morocco, when I was in seminary, I went to Morocco in 2004 with Arab World Ministries, where we were worked with the missionaries there that had made contact with the Berbers. That's not a good name. They call themselves, and I can't pronounce it correctly, but they call themselves the Imazirin, the free men, free people of the North Atlas Mountains in North Africa. And largely unreached, we were paired up with them, and we just lived with them. And again, that was amazing, but that was very, very hard. Came home, got lice, and which, you know, it was they were literally dirt poor. But coming back from that trip, I was broken for the Muslim women, because the Muslim women are not seen. They don't honor mothers. They don't honor women over there. Women are demeaned. They're put down. When going over to Armenia, we had a layover in Doha, Qatar, and it just brought all of that back. As there, and we're walking through the airport, and the women are following the men, and they're completely covered, and it broke my heart, and it breaks my heart. When I came back from Morocco, I was like, God, I really need a word, because, man, my heart is just, my heart breaks for these women that are, these are your girls, or these are your women. It's male and female. Both are made in God's image. Male and female, he created them. Both of us, male and female, we display the image of God. One without the other isn't the image of God. It's male and female. And so he gave me John chapter 4. John chapter 4 is the woman at the well. If you go and you read that story, Jesus, it says he had to go through Samaria. And you look on a map, and Jesus didn't have to go through Samaria to get to where he was going. But he went to Samaria because he had a divine appointment. And he wanted to encounter that woman at the well. That woman came to draw water at noon. And you know anything about the ancient Near East culture? You do not go to draw water at noon. It is hot. You do that in the morning. You do that in the evening. She went there to draw water because she didn't want to talk to anybody. She didn't want to see anybody. There were rumors about her, and she just wanted to avoid the crowd. When I lived in Marion, I used to go, before COVID, I used to go to Walmart late at night. I used to be one of those 11 midnight shoppers at Walmart because I wanted to avoid the crowd. But this woman came to draw water, and yet Jesus meets with her, dialogues with her, knows her deepest, darkest secrets, calls her out, and invites her to a relationship with him. I have water. I have living water. Sir, I want some of that. I want some of that. And at the end of that story, that woman goes back to her village, and she tells them, come and see this man who's told me everything I've ever done. And her whole village was transformed because of her witness. And the Lord gave me that story, and he's like, and I was like, okay, Lord, I know what to do. And so I've been praying for, ever since 2004, for the women in the Middle East, that they would encounter Jesus, and that they would go and tell, and villages would be changed. And it's not just a result of my prayers, but you read and you see what's going on in the Middle East right now. You all in Iraq and in Iran, you know what's happening? The women I got up and I smelled lilies. There was not a flower in that place. There was nothing. I smelled lilies. You all, there is something about the Lord that we can encounter. We can encounter him through our feelings. We can encounter him through smells. And he wants to encounter us. He wants to encounter you today. And was able, it was amazing, ancient, beautiful things. And yet, in some in that culture, women kind of pushed you to the side. So my heart again was broken for the women. And about day two or day three there in Armenia, I was like, God, why am I here? Like, why am I here? Like, and just very clearly, because Joel was, he's an evangelist, I'll tell you more about that later, but just an amazing evangelist. It was amazing to watch him, and that is a gift that I don't have, but, you know, that's not what I do, and that's not, you know, but I was there, and but God, why am I here? And he made it very, very clear that I was there for Nare. Nare was our translator, and it's amazing. I wrote this week, and then as I wrote it, the Lord just corrected me that there is a tie. We think blood relatives is as close as we can be, but the blood of Jesus can tie us and knit our hearts together in a way that's even deeper than our biological brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if any of you have ever gone overseas, you've been able to do that and just be able to be there for Nare, and she was there for me as well, and God knit our hearts together. So what am I saying this morning? What's my point this morning? I want to share with you about Deborah. Deborah, in Judges 4 and 5, there had been four judges up until Deborah. God had promised that they were going into the promised land, and yet they weren't obedient. God said, go in and take the land, and they didn't do it. And they kept falling. They kept not being obedient. And in Judges chapter 4, there arose a judge in that time, and her name was Deborah. If you look in Judges chapter 4, that's where I am. I'm going to read some of this. Judges chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Judges 4, verse 4. Pull on your hats. This is fun. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinom from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go gather your men, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you by the river with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. She reminds him of God's promise. Hey, you need to go and do this. And it's really interesting what Barak says to her. He doesn't say, I'm not going to listen to you. No, what does he say? Verse 8, Barak said to her, if you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you are going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh, and Barak called out Zebulun and Naphtali, and 10,000 men went up with him at his heels, and Deborah went up with him. And they go, and Sisera the king flees, and in verse 17, and there are children here, so I'm not going to read this because I don't want to offend any parental judgments here, but Sisera tent, and Jael, this young girl, she ends up killing Sisera, and it's pretty graphic. You go on and read that. And again, I'm not going to read that here, but Deborah was right. The Lord did deliver their enemies into the hands of Jael. And then Deborah starts singing a song, her and Barak, in Judges chapter 5. Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinon, on that day, that the leaders took the lead in Israel, that the people offered themselves willingly, bless the Lord. Hear, O kings, give ear, O princes, to the Lord I will sing. I will make melody to the Lord, the God of Israel. And they're singing this song, and Deborah calls herself the mother of Israel. The mother of Israel. Deborah was a wife. Deborah was a mother. But Deborah was also a judge. And she was a commander. And she called herself a mother. I was reminded on this trip the importance of mothers. The importance of fathers in the faith. In Armenia, they honor and they want a male to be, they want a male child because they want their family name to go on. There are only 3 million people that live in Armenia. They are completely surrounded by enemies, and they want a male to propagate the family line. And so with a lot, there's the abortion rate in Armenia is huge because it's a little bit like China. If they give birth to a little girl, they don't want a little girl. Oftentimes they will abort. They will abort the girl babies because they want male babies. And one of the longtime missionaries that were there said, he's a father himself, but he has a father's heart for the men of Armenia because he said that a lot of the male children are spoiled. They're just spoiled. They're spoiled rotten. They don't know how to care for their family. They're very self-centered. And Craig is like, we just need to pour in to the lives of these men to disciple them and raise them up that they will be good, faithful fathers and not just self-seeking, you know, pompous, arrogant men that are only looking out for themselves. And so it's amazing to see what God is raising up. And he has a heart for the men. And 2 years ago, I was minding my own business. I was at a worship service soaking. Just worship music was playing. I was just laying on the floor, just soaking in the Lord. And the Lord very clearly came to me, and he said, April, I'm going to make you a mother. I'm like, that's interesting, Lord. I'm not married. I don't have children. I'm kind of like, that whole stage is past, God. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. He said, I'm going to make you a mother to many. And as I've leaned into that and as I've prayed into that, y'all, that's what he wants to do with all of us in this hour. Deborah was a mother to Israel. Our nation right now is suffering because it doesn't have a family. It doesn't have mamas. It doesn't have daddies. And God wants to use us. He wants to use you. And those of you that are mamas, those of you that are grandmothers, there is no greater honor on the planet than to pour into those little ones. That is an honor. And great-grandmothers, that is an honor and a privilege. And you need to pray for them. You need to model the scriptures to them. No greater honor than that. You hear me? No greater honor than that, mamas. We honor you and we bless you. And those of us that have never married, those of us that don't have children, those of us and those of you that have, daddies, God's calling you. God is calling us in this hour to be mamas and daddies. If you don't have younger men, younger women that you're pouring into, ask the Lord to highlight who that may be. Because we are where we are in our country because we haven't been faithful in passing on the love, the message of Jesus, the truth of the Word of God. And that needs to be modeled in each one of us. God, what are you doing out here? Jesus, he died for the nations. He died for the nations. He died, and I love it. In Revelation 1, what does John see? He says, I saw people from every tribe, people, language, and nation. How did he know that? How did he know that? There's a saying, well, we need to be colorblind when it comes to, you know, looking at it color with, you know, with race. No, absolutely not. John knew that they were from every tribe, people, tongue, and language, and nation because of what they looked like. It was amazing. Walking through Qatar, we had a 19-hour layover coming home. It took us 72 hours to get home. I was not looking forward to that, y'all. Thank you for praying me through. I was not looking forward to that. But 19 hours in Qatar Airport. And one of the things that me and another team member that we decided to do was we were going to go and pray. And we needed to be really careful about that because we didn't want to get arrested. But we were very careful. But we were praying. One of the things that made me weep as we were walking through the terminals and just asking Holy Spirit, Lord, how do you want us to pray? We were praying. I saw people from every tribe, tongue, people, language, and nation. I've done a lot of research on unreached people groups through the years. I prayed through the 1040 window. I prayed, maybe some of you have done that too. I prayed when I was serving at Cedar Grove. I would every week in their bulletin, I would look up and I would print out unreached people groups. And we would be praying for that. I did that for 4 or 5 years down at Cedar Grove, praying for the unreached people groups. But I've never been in a place where I could walk and I could see people. And there was this man, I don't know where he was from. He was dark-skinned but not black, and he had facial features like he was an Egyptian, but I don't think he was an Egyptian, but he was dressed in the most regal clothes I've ever seen in my life, like this silk thing on his head, silk thing, I mean, and satin. It was absolutely astounding, and I sat there, and I looked at that, and I was like, Jesus, the people that he represents, God, bring them to you. Bring them to you, Jesus. And we get so stuck here that we forget that he came and he died for the nations. In Revelation chapter 21, my cat died this week and it made me very sad. And I've been thinking a lot about death, thinking about that. Was reading Revelation 21. Listen to this, y'all. Listen to this. Revelation 21. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God the Almighty and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the nations. As I was walking and I was seeing these people from all over the world, and I'm seeing the women that are hidden and they're forced to wear black and walk behind the men because they're the unseen ones. That made me sad. But I'm walking and I'm seeing all this, I'm feeling all of this. And the Lord, he reminded me of that scripture. And you know what's astounding to me about that scripture? Well, we get to bring something into heaven. I never thought about that. We get to bring the glory of our nation into heaven. That's astounding, isn't it? As beautiful as the pearly gates, gates of gold, all of it, we get to bring what God has made you, male, female, what God has made you in your ethnicity. God blesses that. He loves that. He honors that, and he sees that. There is not lesser in the kingdom of God. Paul said there is no slave, there is no free, there is no male, there is no female. We all stand on equal footing before the Lamb. But there is something special and unique about you. There's something beautiful about you, about how God created you. And God has called all of us to be mamas and to be daddies. To be praying for our nation, praying for our children, praying for the nation, for because he said, before I come, all nations are going to know. Could it be that Jesus is tarrying? The suffering of the world is going on because we have not prayed, because we have not gone, because we have not sent. God's heart is for the nations. And on this Mother's Day, I honor you, mothers, and we bless you. But God, never been married, never had a child in my life. God's calling me to be a mama, and that's true for all of you. Biological or not, God's calling you women. He's calling you to be a mama. Men, same thing. Biological, children or not, God's calling you to be daddies. The nation needs you. Will you pray? Will you nurture? Will you take the young ones under your arm? The glory of God is coming. The King is coming. May we not be so stuck in our own little world and forget that Jesus died for the nations. When I prayed, he said, God, why am I here? Why am I here, God? You know what he told me? I've not forgotten my girls. Not forgotten my girls. The weak things of the world, he's going to use to shame the wise. God's doing that in Iraq and Iran right now, in the Middle East, through women that he's raising up. And I'm not here with a feminist agenda. That's not why I'm here. I'm just here to share with you the heart of the Father and how you can be involved. How when I was struggling, I'm like, I can't preach. I can't do what I'm called to do here, God. What am I doing? God said, I want you to pray for Nare. I want you to pray for her. And she may be watching. Hi, Nare. Hi. And I pray she gets to come to the United States. And I pray that you get to meet her. But my prayer for all of you is that you will find your Nare. That you will find somebody, it may be your own son, your own daughter, your own grandson, your own granddaughter, great-grandbaby, and that's beautiful. But God is calling all of us to nurture and encourage the younger. And he's calling you. He's calling you. And he loves you. And he sees you. And his eye is upon you. And he knows the year that we have had. Y'all, I did not want to go on this trip. I didn't want to go. I have a condition that can be exacerbated by flying. Lymphedema, it's painful. It hurts. I have to wear tons of compression garments. It's hot. I didn't want to do that. But I had witnesses. I prayed. The Lord said, go. I had three or four other people that did not have any idea I was praying about going, that they had words for me. And they're like, you need to get a ticket somewhere. God's saying you need to get a ticket. I'm like, what? And so it was amazing how God confirmed every step of the way. I was terrified to walk in obedience. I was scared. I had some of you praying. When I got home, after 72 hours, and I got home a week ago Thursday, and I began taking off layers, compression garments, kinesio tape, taking it all off, and I looked at my body. It should not look as good as it did. It was a step in healing. Sometimes God wants to take us out of our little comfort zone, and he's calling us up, and he's calling us out, and he's calling us to trust him. And I'm here to say that he's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. Will you go? Will you pray? Will you at least say, God, who is somebody I can nurture? Who is somebody that I can love? He wants to use each one of you, and all he wants is our yes. On Easter, I preached Ezekiel 37, Valley of Dry Bones, bones that are dried up. God comes to Ezekiel, and he says, Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? And he says, Lord, you know. And he says, prophesy to these bones. Prophesy and say, breathe. Prophesy to the breath. And as he began to do that, and he prophesied to the dead, and he prophesied to the wind, and he prophesied for skin and muscle and breath to enter in, you know what happened? They jumped up, and you know what they were? They were a great army, and that is who you are. That is who you are, DeCoin First United Methodist Church. You are an army that God wants to raise up. He wants to breathe on you. He wants to encourage you. He wants to equip you so that we can be mamas and we can be daddies to a lost and dying generation. And will you say yes? Will you say yes? It's all he wants is our yes. And you will find him to be faithful and true. Please stand and pray with me. If you want, and I just feel like the Lord's here today and he wants to give you peace and he wants to give you comfort, and I just encourage you to raise your hands, and I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, everything that I received in Armenia, Lord, just the supernatural, God, the supernatural, the smell of the lilies, God, I smelled you when there was no logical explanation. Lord, I just release your glory right now over your people. I just release it now in Jesus' name. I release your peace over your people. I release your love over your people. I just release your glory, God, your glory, your peace, Lord, your peace. I just release it now in Jesus' name. Comfort, encourage, breathe, breath of God. I was praying about what to sing. I felt like at the time it was a strange song to close a service with. But we're going to sing Lead On, O King Eternal. And as I was praying about this, I was like, no, this is an incredibly appropriate song. Because the King is calling all of us to trust him. He's calling all of us to say yes. And so let's sing this song, Lead On, O King Eternal. And let's follow him, you all, because he's leading us. And it's a good place. And all he wants is our yes. Lead on, O King Eternal. I just pray for a fresh infilling of everybody here who's hungry, for everybody here who's thirsty, for everybody here who needs a drink, Lord, of your love, a drink of your joy, a drink of your presence. God, I just release that on your people. I release your glory on your people. I release your peace on your people. God, I thank you that you haven't forgotten your girls. Lord, I thank you that we're equal, male and female. We both bear the image of God. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in the nations right now. And Lord, we want to be part of it, whether we go, whether we send, whether we pray, whether we give. God, we pray in the deepest, darkest recesses of the world. God, we pray your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. I praise you, Jesus, that you came for the one. You came for the one, the lost, dying sheep. And Lord, whether there's one among us today, Lord, that wants to repent and come to you, Lord, we just thank you that you're always after for the one. You are after the woman at the well. You are after the one. And so, Lord, may we always have your heart. May we go after the one. May we be nurturers. May we be mothers and fathers in the faith. Lord, may we have eyes to see. May we have ears to hear what you're saying, what you're doing in this hour. Give us your heart, God. We thank you for our mothers. We thank you for the women in our lives. And Lord, we bless them. And we say, God, make us all a blessing. Make us a blessing in Jesus' name.